With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
Up NFP, this is Wes Bunning, the director of college scouting here at the National Football Post, and you are listening to another installment of the Draft Tick Roundtable. We have four more guys on this week. We have some guys from all over the country willing to help me out, some of the best in the business, and I'm thrilled for the group of guys we have on. First up is Scott Wright, the owner slash NFL draft analyst of one of the top NFL draft websites, in my opinion, on the web, and that is DraftCountdown.com. Scott, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Thanks for having me, Wes.
Oh, anytime, Scott. Always love hearing from you. Next up is Jeff Romer from Bleacher Report. He is a featured columnist over there. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Very good. Excited to be on with you guys and kick it around today.
Excited to have you on, Jeff. Dan Kadar from MockingTheDraft.com. He is the draft analysis site manager. The man wears a ton of hats over there. How are we doing today, Dan?
Great, Wes. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks for coming on. And then, of course, my good friend Andrew Garda, who is NFL slash college football writer at Football Guys, Draft Expert. You can find him anywhere. Andrew, how are we doing today, man?
Oh, I'm glad I could join this murderers row of analysts and scouts right here. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. We have a good group today. And overall, about a week away, or after free agency, I should say, the dust is finally starting to settle. We had Peyton Manning signing today with the Denver Broncos. Players going here, players going there. Draft needs automatically getting switched around pretty much in the heat of the moment after every signing. So what we're going to talk today is the biggest impact signings of free agency that are going to have the biggest effect on the NFL draft in a couple weeks. So, Scott, I'm going to throw it to you first. Going over free agency this past week, what was the one signing that stuck out to you over all of them that said, you know what, when I go back to my mock draft or going over team needs, this is totally going to throw everything off?
Well, since I'm in the pole position here and I get first pick, I'm going to take the obvious one, and that's Mario Williams to the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo certainly needed to upgrade their pass rush, and they did that in a big, bad way with Mario Williams. They gave him a ton of money, but I think he was worth the huge contract that he got. And that really lends some credibility to the Buffalo Bills, and it's going to help them attract other free agents. And it really goes to show that they are an up-and-coming team. But in terms of the draft, it certainly affects them because we thought they might target someone like Courtney Upshaw from Alabama, maybe Melvin Ingram from South Carolina at number 10 overall, but now with Williams in the fold, they can kind of look elsewhere. I think the obvious fit would be Iowa offensive tackle Riley Reiff if he's available. I definitely think they need to shore up that offensive line, and I think that would make a lot of sense. But Buffalo, in recent years, they've also shown that they're willing to go off the board a little bit and surprise people, and maybe they look at someone like Michael Floyd, the wide receiver from Notre Dame. That one shocked me completely. So I think the Buffalo Bills, certainly their plans have changed since free agency started, and they're just one of many teams.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Scott. When you have Mario Williams, Darius, Kyle Williams, and they have Kelsey, they have Merriman, do you think there's any chance, and Scott, I'll throw it to you right back real quickly, any chance that they look defensive end again at 10? Quentin Copel's there on the edge. We know Merriman struggled a bit with his hand on the ground. Kelsey not real dynamic. Do they still look defensive end possibly? Is that a chance, or do you think no, with the money they invested in Mario, they go elsewhere?
Yeah, I think they could still go for a pass rusher, and that's the range, too. That's where there's going to be value, whether it be Copels, whether it be Ingram, whether it be Upshaw. I think there's going to be value there, especially some guys who offer some versatility. So if they want to run some 3-4 elements, they'll have guys who can fit in that scheme as well. So I definitely think pass rusher is still in the conversation for the Bills, but not necessarily the lock it was before free agency started and they spent all that money on Williams.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, we'll kick it to you next. You can stick with Mario, or you can go off page since Scott had the pole position. biggest impact that you saw via free agency?
No, I think Scott covered it very thoroughly and in line with what my opinions were as well on the impact of the Mario Williams signing. So I'm going to move on to what the Dallas Cowboys did and kind of group all three of their big signings from last week together. Brandon Carr, Brodney Poole, and Dan Connor, all on the defensive side, obviously, and feel like that sets them up with a very clear path to go David DeCastro at 14 with guard. And, you know, he might have already been in their conversation and had a chance to go there. And I'm certainly one of the people in the industry that thinks he is an elite guard prospect that deserves to go in the top half of the first round, despite the historic trend of the position. I want to say Steve Hutchinson went 12th overall, but it might have been a little later, 16 or 17. But I think DeCastro's right in that range. And with them being a team that could theoretically look at corner, look at safety like a Mark Barron, look middle linebacker like or inside linebacker in their scheme like Luke Kuechly, that these moves, you know, make it a little cleaner for them to really prioritize DeCastro. So I thought that was a kind of a sweeping statement by one team, not really statement, but three moves that allow them to really point clearly in one direction. And I think it's a good one. I think DeCastro is going to, you know, help them in the interior. And he comes in a year after Tyron Smith and, you know, starts to give them a lot of quality youth up front to build around.
Jeff, never going to argue with you with David DeCastro, to be honest. I think the guy, like you said, could be a Fanica, could be a Steve Hutchinson. I've talked to some people that don't think that, but even the people that don't like him that much, they still think he's going to be a heck of a guard. Question I want to throw back to you, and when I saw what the Cowboys did via free agency, you talked about Carr, Poole, and Connor, I just think it gives them so much more flexibility that they're not pinned in anywhere. If they didn't get Carr, you know, maybe they have to go Kirkpatrick. If they don't get a guy like Connor, maybe they got to force a linebacker that they don't want. I think it gives them the ability to go pass rusher, five technique, cornerback, linebacker. But I want to throw it back to you real quickly with this. They did, now I'm not an expert, but correct me if I'm wrong, I think they did sign two offensive guards, and the kid from Carolina and Nate Livings, I believe, from Cincinnati. Do you think that affects the David DeCastro, or do you think that just gives them more versatility that, you know, we can go any direction we want because we have some depth to help us out overall?
I think it's both. I think you make a great point with the flexibility that it probably gives them in the war room that day, especially if they are absolutely in love with a best player available kind of scenario, or somebody that maybe surprisingly falls for them, and they say, "Well, listen, you know, we thought we were the front runner and in really good position all along for DeCastro, but now, you know, this player that we didn't think necessarily would get here, or this guy that we really like, is there. You know what? We can address it later we can address guard again later in the draft to try to, you know, bring in reinforcements and some youth. But we do have the two guys that you mentioned, you know, coming in. But I don't think it deters them from taking DeCastro if everything falls a certain way and the way they may be projecting based on the moves they've made. That Livings and who did they get from Carolina?
I think it was Mackenzie Barandu or whatever, however you say his name.
Yeah, it's a tough name guy. I think both those guys fit comfortably, you know, personnel-wise and on the budget as depth pieces so that you can still take DeCastro and, you know, plug and play from day one and not feel like, hey, we're crowding it or creating some kind of an ego problem in the clubhouse.
Dan, I'll let you take it away. So instead of listening to me butcher more names, biggest impact free agent that you saw sign that could affect the NFL draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, ever since I think I've been writing about the draft, I say the Chiefs need an offensive tackle. And they signed Eric Winston to play right tackle, which is a surprise cut by the Texans. So to me, he... You know, there's bigger names out there, but to me, he makes the biggest immediate impact of anybody. I mean, even Peyton Manning, Mario Williams, stuff like that. I think Winston is the kind of guy that gives the Chiefs, you know, flexibility in what they can do in the draft. They don't have to settle for someone like Riley Rafe, picking 11th.
Yeah, what's interesting with the Chiefs, too, is, you know, Barry Richardson, who I remember when I evaluated him coming out, I thought he was at best a reserve only. He started for him. They have an interesting guy in David Mims, the small school kid that I really liked a couple years ago. Steve Maneri from Temple, kind of an offensive tackle guard. But when you look at the Chiefs now with Winston, they solidified that right side. They have solidified the left side in Brandon Albert. What direction now do you see them going, since they ultimately don't have to take a guy like Reef or Mike Adams or maybe Cordy Glenn even to play the right side of that line?
Yeah, yeah, and the other thing with the Chiefs that everyone has to keep in mind is that they had all those injured players last year, so they're really in a, you know, in an advantageous spot to, you know, Romeo Crennel kind of defensive player. Everyone knows Romeo Crennel, the book on his defense, is that he likes big bodies up front, and the Chiefs have some of those guys, but, you know, at nose tackle, I think Dontari Poe makes sense because their current guys expect to start as Jarrell Poe, obviously not related, but so to me, a player like that, a guy who can play up front for them, is where they can look.
Guard, I'm going to throw it to you. Last one to touch on this free agency had the effect on the NFL draft.
I'd have to say, and I like Winston as a pick an awful lot, because it did throw my mock draft off quite a bit. But I think Matt Flynn going to Seattle makes things kind of interesting for Ryan Tannehill, because not that long ago we were talking about who wasn't going to get Robert Griffin III. Who's gonna reach for the third quarterback? And there are a lot of people who are all over the board in terms of what Tannehill brings to the table. If they think he's a first round pick, if you think he's a top 10 pick, I happen to think he fits better at the latter half of the first round, maybe toward the tail end, maybe into the second. But someone's going to reach for him. But we thought it could be Washington, could be Miami, but could be Seattle. But now Seattle gets Matt Flynn. Miami's still trying to close the deal with Alex Smith. We'll have to see what happens with that. If they get Alex Smith, Matt Flynn is in Seattle. I mean, how far is Tannehill going to fall, and how quickly will a team at the bottom half of the second round maybe jump up to try and get him as he free falls? So it could be to me, that's going to be a really interesting sort of like dart throw. Where is Tannehill going to land? Who is going to go for him, and who's left? Because once you get past, like, you know, the initial top 10 picks, you know, maybe his best hope is Cleveland decides they're going to grab him with their second pick, but they've got so many holes, and they seem to be all in on Colt McCoy right now. You know, he could conceivably slide a lot farther, and you know the Patriots are going to trade out. You know, some of the other teams like Green Bay could move. There are plenty of teams in the second half of that first round who would be willing to move back so that Tannehill can find himself a home and another team could leap up and maybe reach a little bit.
Yeah, when I was working on my mock today, actually for Wednesday, you look at the Cleveland Browns at 4, is Tannehill a real option there? You look at the Miami Dolphins at 8, is he a real option there? And I think that's the toughest thing I'm trying to figure out right now. I was talking to a guy the other day that works in the NFL, and he was joking with me that, you know, you should just put Tannehill up above Andrew Luck right now, because the momentum that Tannehill has, it seems like every day he hasn't done anything, but he keeps going higher and higher. Garda, in your opinion, what range do you see Ryan Tannehill gone in the 2012 NFL draft? Is it top 5, top 10, top 15, 20? Where do you think ultimately he ends up coming off the board?
I have a feeling he comes in the latter half of the top 20. I think someone's going to jump up. I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns took him with their second pick in the first. But, you know, talk about a rudderless franchise right now. It's really hard to kind of figure out what they're going to do day to day, since they seem to not be able to, you know, close anything off. I wouldn't be shocked if say, Alex Smith completely, you know, turns around and does what everyone else has done to the Dolphins and heads home and goes back to San Francisco. And, you know, Miami sitting there, if they don't take him with their first pick in a panic sort of move, I wouldn't be shocked if they traded back into the first round somehow and picked him up in the latter half. But I think his value is, like I said, the late part of the first round at best. But I think he's going to go somewhere in the top 20 because, you know, it's a quarterback-hungry league. Somebody is going to, you know, someone's going to blink and someone's going to jump up. And like you said, Tannehill doesn't even have to do anything. If he just disappears for the next month and a half, you know, there's a good chance he'll get drafted way higher than he should be just because of what else is going on and how desperate people are each year for quarterback. And we could have the same conversation next year, Wes. We'll have the same conversation. You know, what are we going to do after Barkley goes off the board? It's going to be the same thing next year. Every year someone's going to reach, and this year it's going to be for Tannehill.
All right. Well, there is a correct answer to this, and you're all wrong. I just want you to know that the real answer is Peyton Manning. So I'm going to give you guys all a chance to redeem yourself now. I'm joking, of course, but you're going to have to talk Peyton Manning and the Broncos anyway. Denver Broncos signed Peyton Manning today, which obviously if you're signing Peyton Manning to a contract and you're the Denver Broncos, you're giving up on the Tebow train, you're going to try to win a Super Bowl right now. So the Broncos are picking middle 24, 25, somewhere in there. I'm not exactly sure. You guys can correct me when I'm wrong, but they're now in a position to potentially win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning at the helm. What is their biggest need that they need to address? Do they go wide receiver here to give him more pieces on that offense? They have Demaryius Thomas, not too much else to get excited about. Do they go running back to take some pressure off him? Maybe they move up and get Trent Richardson. In your opinion now, with the Peyton Manning signing, what do the Denver Broncos do in the first round? Scott, I'll throw it to you first.
Well, I do think they need to add another wide receiver, but I don't know if it's going to be a first-round priority. I think they'll probably wait a little bit. And because they do have some talent at the position, and Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker proved relatively productive, and in a lot of ways, Peyton Manning makes good receivers, too. Peyton Manning can turn an average receiver into a very good one. So I don't know if they're going to do it really early. But there's a lot of pieces in place on that offense. The offensive line's pretty set. If they do go offense, I wouldn't completely rule out a running back early on. John Fox is a big believer in running backs. He drafted a couple in the first round when he's with the Carolina Panthers, and I think that's an area they definitely need to improve. But in the first round, I still think they need to focus in on that defense. It played better than expected last year, but they still need some talent upgrades. And two positions in particular, I think defensive tackle and I think cornerback. And I think both spots, there's going to be some value available, especially the defensive tackle position. Late in the first round there, if they could come out and get a Devin Still from Penn State or Jarrell Worthy from Michigan State, I think that would be a really good fit. Perhaps Dre Kirkpatrick from Alabama is available, or Stephon Gilmore from South Carolina if they want to go cornerback. So I think they're going to stay defense in the first round. But I'll say this as well, though. I think the Broncos are going to use a top 100 pick on a quarterback still, even though they're bringing in Peyton Manning. Peyton certainly has some question marks with his health. He's getting up there in years. He's more of a short-term fix. You can't really plan on him being the answer much longer than maybe a few years down the line. And if they get rid of Tebow, they're going to need to begin developing a quarterback of the future. And I know John Elway has done a lot of work on this quarterback crop. I'm sure he's found at least one that he likes. And I think in the top three rounds, they're going to bring in a quarterback to groom for when Peyton Manning's time is officially up.
All right, Jeff, you heard it from Scott. He's thinking defensive lineman, defense, first round, eventual wide receiver, eventual quarterback at some point. If you're the GM or if you're looking at the Broncos right now, do you agree with that, or would you go wide receiver a little higher, or would you go another position?
I hate to admit it because I love disagreement and throwing fuel on the fire, but I think Scott absolutely nailed it. I mean, he essentially hit on not only the positions and the priorities, but even some of the specific players that I would mention, particularly Devin Still as a three technique up front on defense. I think Stephon Gilmore, if somebody doesn't jump him earlier, you know, like Detroit or Tennessee, could. He could be there and make sense for them. I prefer Gilmore to Kirkpatrick. Some other first-round corners that I like that could be in that range are Jamel Fleming. And running back is also kind of an interesting wild card. I think the industry has proven over and over that you don't necessarily have to spend, you know, that high of a pick to get a quality, effective guy. I think there's still a possibility that Denver could make some noise in free agency. To support some of Manning's, you know, wish list type stuff, but you figure there's a pretty good chance the number two running back on the board is going to be there, and they may say, you know, this is a good chance to get the guy who's going to, you know, be Manning wheelmate in this next 3-year window with us, whether it's you know, a Doug Martin or David Wilson, Lamar Miller, you know, depending on their taste and how they rate everything. And then again, you know, moving forward beyond the Manning era, which quarterback, you know, likely in that top 100 on day one and day two, specifically day two, because they're not likely to use a 25th pick on the guy, you know, who is the future under center. So, Scott, you know, I give you a tip of my hat, and hopefully I kind of rewashed and delivered that with a couple other names on there.
All right, Dan, before you jump on the Scott and Jeff bandwagon, I'm going to put in a little counterpoint just to get you thinking a bit, just so you don't jump on this bandwagon too quickly. All right, so we have the Denver Broncos. They signed Peyton Manning. If you got Peyton Manning and he's healthy, 10-1, you're going to play with the lead a lot. And I would say that the Broncos, with those two guys rushing the passer, they can get after it, especially in obvious passing situations. And in the NFL now, you know, playing the run, it's becoming almost optional the way teams throw it 45 times a game. So they have two pass rushers. Do they need to improve the defense, especially interior defensive line? Absolutely. Corner, absolutely. But there's some depth at both spots. So if you can get a guy that can run vertically down the field, because with Thomas and with Decker, you don't have a burner. If you could get a guy like Kendall Wright who can open up it vertically down the field, are you at least tempted to look wide receiver or offense at least in the first round, knowing that you can rush the passer and you got a quarterback that's going to allow you to play with the lead consistently and teams aren't going to consistently run the football as much?
Yeah, it's weird. If you look at the Denver roster, they're scarily similar to what the Colts had. I mean, poor running game, two pass rushers but no defensive tackles. But like you mentioned, yeah, they could use a vertical receiver. I think Thomas is a little more vertical than he was ever allowed to be so far in Denver. I mean, Tebow can't really get the ball that vertical that well. So I think he'll be adequate as a vertical guy. To me, I think a guy like Doug Martin maybe makes more sense. They have no Sean Moreno and Willis McGahee as their top two running backs, so... McGahee's that magic 30 years old, which is a death knell for running backs, and Moreno has been, you know, you don't even have to describe what he's been because, you know, he's been terrible. So, you know, I think they need to go on offense. I think they need to buy on defense with what they have in the first round at least. I think Wright might make sense. He's way different than what they have, and that he's a smaller, quicker, like you mentioned, vertical guy, but I wouldn't be shocked if running back was the idea, though, too.
Guard, I'm going to throw it to you last, since you are a football guy and you love your fantasy football over there. Any skill positions in Denver? Are you buying the Scott and Jeff hype train of going defense only? You built, you know, defense wins championships.
Well, you know, it's funny because really, I think that the next week and a half, now that they've got Manning under contract, allegedly, you know, they're a little exhale in Denver, and they can regroup and focus on some of their other free agents. And what they do in the next week and a half is going to be really telling as to which direction I think they go with that first pick. Because I could certainly see the point that's been made that, you know, you pick up some more tools for defense. Defense wins championships. You have to stop the pass. You have to stop the run. You know, a guy like Gerald Worthy is someone they've talked about for the last few weeks prior to the Manning Palooza. You know, maybe they'll go after him. But I kind of think, you know, if you're going to have Peyton Manning and you're going to have, you know, your shot at the Super Bowl, you know, because you've got a small window. You know, Scott made a really good point. You know, Manning is only a solution for a few years. He's not your future quarterback. So I think Kendall Wright would be a really good option for them. I like Decker. I like Demaryius Thomas. But I don't think they have that special element that a guy like Wright does. So I could definitely see, if Wright's on the board, them going for him and getting themselves a pure vertical threat to be able to use Manning with. I do also like the Doug Martin pick. I'm a huge Martin fan. You know, we talked about it when we were in Mobile watching him at the Senior Bowl. He's a very impressive specimen. He's and just gregarious. He really wants to play in Denver too. And some of the interviews that I heard with him, like he was excited to maybe head over to play with the Broncos. So, you know, you've got no Sean Moreno if he doesn't do anything, and Willis McGahee, who's great but not great. You know, Doug Martin could give them that extra element, especially if they are. Your point to play with the lead, you know, stands. If you're ahead, you're going to want to grind the clock sometimes. You have Doug Martin there, you know you're going to be able to do that down after down after down. So I could definitely see either Wright or Martin going with that first pick for the Denver Broncos. And, you know, I think they do look at a quarterback in the second or third round. Someone who can back up, man, and if, heaven forbid, you know, the neck goes again, and someone who can step in, and the two, I believe our friend Cecil Lammy was talking about the other day in terms of being able to step in and maybe do pretty well, but Brandon Whedon as well. He's not a guy who maybe will be the future of your franchise long term, but he has. Middle of a playoff hunt, Whedon might be able to step in and Manning gets healthy and can win the Super Bowl for you. So those two guys are kind of interesting to see where their buzz is in the next few weeks, because I have a feeling the Broncos are going to be looking at them very, very carefully for their, you know, their second day picks.
All right, guys. Well, that about wraps it up. I think we just lost Scott, but what I want to give you guys a chance to do quick, and I'll pimp Scott for him at the very end, is tell us where we can find you on the World Wide Web, all the awesome spots overall, and Jeff, I'll let you go first.
And is that Bleacher Report? There's a ton of great writing all over that site, but if you're looking for my stuff specifically, you can type my name into the search field, Jeff, last name Romer, R-O-E, M as in Mary, E-R, and it'll bring up, you know, all the articles that I've done specifically. And I spend a good amount of time going over things on Twitter with everyone else in the community.
Garda, where can we find you, buddy?
J-E-F-F-R-O-E-M-E-R.
And Garda, where can we find you?
On the Twitters at Andrew_Garda, G-A-R-D-A. I'm there way too often, as both my day job boss and wife will tell you. You can also catch me, of course, over at Football Guys. We'll be ramping up over the next month or so, and I'll be in and out of the forums talking some draft stuff. And of course, you can catch me over at Bleacher Report. And like the man said, in front of me, just search for my name, Andrew Garda, and you'll get all of my articles there. And then if you are looking for some video content, I just launched my Draft Spotlight series. You can go over to YouTube and look for Thundering Blurb. That's my channel from my old blogging days a couple years ago. I just dropped an Andrew Luck video, and I'll be doing hopefully one a week between now and the draft in April, and we'll be hitting some of the big stars and a couple of the lesser-known guys as well. So you can check that out. And you know, you always know what I'm up to if you follow me on Twitter, because I can't shut up.
And then Dan, why don't you hit us up last?
Sure, mine's super easy. You can find all my stuff on mockingthedraft.com. We have a handful of writers there who are putting out some really great stuff, and we're a site that does draft all year round. So if anyone needs a draft fix in like June, we'll be there. And you can follow me on Twitter at MockingTheDraft. So super easy.
And then, of course, Scott, who had to leave a little early, is at DraftCountdown.com. You can follow him on Twitter at DraftCountdown. Scott's been doing it just about as long as anyone. It's a great site. One of the ones I checked out before I started at the NFP. I have a ton of respect for Scott, as well as for Jeff, Garda, and Dan. I think all three guys do a fabulous job. So, guys, thanks a lot for coming on and breaking it down with me today.
Appreciate it for having me.
No problem. And this is the DraftNik Roundtable. It will be published Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. You can check us out every Tuesday with a new group of DraftNiks on every week. So I want to thank you all for listening, and have a great week.